Welcome to the Droids Outpost, the semi-weekly podcast where we talk about things that aren't Star Wars related. With Chris, I am Ryan. We are short two droids today, but that's okay. You know what? We're gonna get through. Do we have a name for this permutation, Chris?
Ooh. We're like particularly respective to the outpost when there's only two
of us?
Well,
no, just like...
Oh, just in general?
Yeah, just the me and you. Are we the wild boys?
I think we are the wild boys.
Yeah. You don't know the chaos that's about to ensue. speaking of chaos and destruction,
yeah.
Today we're talking about monster movies.
Ooh.
With the release on digital of Godzilla King of the Monsters, which I'm going to get into a little bit. I don't believe you've seen it.
No, I have not. I've seen them
right
up to that one, yes.
Right. So I thought it was appropriate. Monster movies... So here's my thoughts. Mm-hmm. Monster movies are one of my, or also known as kaiju movies,
mm-hmm.
One of my favorite genre of movies. However, though there are some great standouts, it is one of those things. It's not like if you love crime movies that there's like an endless well of great ones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like monster movies, you kind of have to, they're not all great. There are some like great ones,
but,
and we'll get into those. But it is this thing you have to forgive a lot, and also you have to kind of cherish the ones that you get.
Right. They're kind of like the first round of like an apocalypse type movie. It was before I think you could have the scale of a straight up like the world is ended. So instead of doing that, they kind of did the inverse, right? You with Godzilla, you have one creature that represents the end of the world.
And famously, I mean, like, I can't say this definitively. I'm not a scholar in this. But, you know, that original Godzilla from the 50s, which was made, in a post-atomic bomb, a response kind of to the atomic bomb.
Mm-hmm.
And as this manifestation of the fear of kind of the power of the atom. Have you ever seen that original one?
No, I haven't.
So it's really interesting because it's... I mean, obviously, it's dated in terms of, like, effects and
sure.
stuff, but it's this really atmospheric, kind of dread-filled movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, a really great
right.
movie.
They kind of hold the goods, right?
Yeah, and it's you know, obviously, the Godzilla franchise, in terms of, like, the Toho Studios ones, kind of became a lot more campy, you
mm-hmm.
know, with, like, Mechagodzilla, all those ones. But that first one is like, really kind of... dread-filled. It's
mm-hmm.
it's a fascinating movie. I recommend seeing it. But yeah, so I was thinking about this with Godzilla King of the Monsters, because I was thinking about that's a movie that doesn't entirely work for me.
Okay.
But there are aspects of it that I love, and I was thinking about how with monster movies, there's this interesting thing where they kind of have to... When monster movies try to put one foot in each world in terms of the monsters and the humans, I feel like they kind of end up not quite working.
Sure.
As well. And it's, to me, it's like they either have to lean into the monsters or they have to lean into the humans.
Sure.
So an example would be Godzilla King of the Monsters. The monster stuff is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, light spoilers here, but there's several monsters in it. And all of that stuff is super well directed. It's really spectacle filled. It's really exciting. But then they kind of filled it with like this human drama that doesn't really need to be there.
It's like,
and it kind of muddles the
like,
whole
who
thing.
Who are these people?
Yeah, there's just a lot of like double crossing and stuff. It's like very strange. And I think that they're trying to do that thing about they're trying to make it relevant in terms of like current world fears and like the tradition of the Godzilla.
Sure, and I think that's also. The human aspect of monster movies, and just so before we kind of dig into this, let's get a distinction here, right? We're not talking universal monsters, right? We're talking
like kaiju, giant
world ending events like Godzilla, Cloverfield, Pacific Rim.
Yes.
If you Google monster movies, Tremors shows up, even Gremlins shows up. So we're not talking your standard kind of monster movie.
We're not talking The Invisible Man. We're not talking Creature from the Black Lagoon. We're
right.
not talking Frankenstein and his bride.
And
or Frankenstein's bride and her husband.
Frankenstein's monster, his bride.
Yes. Yes.
I think there is a weird path that these types of movies have. They're not like... Because they're not really horror movies as such.
No.
And they're not really suspense movies. They do kind of have their own genre, but it's an unsaid genre, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, a cousin to the disaster movie.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah.
They generally have these same beats, which is something I love. Mm-hmm. Like, I think this is one of the things that really attracts me to them, is that, aside from the fact that I love giant monsters, but is that first act where things are, you know, we're getting a reading. Mm-hmm. There's strange seismic activity, yeah. Things like that.
Yeah.
You know, and
if your movie says we're getting a reading, there's strange seismic activity, you've got yourself a kaiju monster movie.
Yeah. We're having some strange readings in the, yeah, right. in the Red Sea.
Oh, a little more radiation than normal.
Have you seen Gareth Edwards' Godzilla?
Yes.
So that's a movie that I was so excited to see it, and then when it came out in theaters, I thought it was good. I didn't think it was great.
The trailers made it seem so slick and so shiny, and I think it was kind of post-Batman a little too, so I was kind of looking for that, like, ooh, they're making my Godzilla a little more serious and dirty.
A really dark, grounded Godzilla. Yeah. But it's a movie that I've revisited recently, especially when Godzilla King of the Monsters came out, and it's actually kind of a masterpiece. So... and this isn't me like prequelizing, right. It's just that I didn't see it. So in terms of how that movie is directed, there are things in terms of how you want to see the scale of a monster. So if anybody's going to go back and revisit this movie,
right,
in terms of the effectiveness of the scale of the monsters, the scale of the spectacle, things like that, almost every single shot of a monster is juxtaposed or shot in a way that it has a real life element in it that we see every day.
Oh, interesting.
So instead of just this kind of big, like, an example of the not doing this would be like Pacific Rim 2, where it's just this kind of like digital, it's this virtual camera flying around. There's no sense of scale.
Yeah, there are moments with Pacific Rim. It almost does like the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers kind of thing, where it's like fight, 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 and you're like, this is an unrecognizable place. And then they literally like jump into like a juice bar, and then you're like, wait a second.
Yeah. So if you look at Godzilla 2014, I believe, whenever we see Godzilla, it's like through a window, or, you know, we pan up. Mm-hmm. There's that famous shot of like the water going through the streets, and then it pans up to the soldiers. They shoot the flares, and then it hits on Godzilla.
So it's perspective.
Yes, exactly. The perspective is key, because it gives a sense of scale. It grounds us, as grounded as something like this could be. And I think that when monster movies are really successful, the first Pacific Rim does this to an extent as well. There was like a thing that Guillermo del Toro said, that the way he directed that movie, he wanted it to be that the camera could only do what a real camera could do.
Right.
He wanted it to be like someone is shooting this.
Sure.
Well, and the most extreme example of that would be Cloverfield.
I was just going to say, yes.
So let's get into that, because that kind of started the resurgence of current monster movies.
I would agree. Yeah, I think there became this kind of lore and this myth. Like, I admittedly am not big into like horror movies or kind of devastated, that kind of thing. This movie really, I think it's cinematic style and kind of its format was more appealing to me at first, but then when I watched it, it actually got me into the genre.
Yeah, and also that's an example of the other foot in, where that movie doesn't follow the monster at all. It only follows the humans.
Right.
And it works on that level as well, because like you said, perspective.
And it's literally from a character whose name is Heads Up Display. HUD, of course. Now, would
wow, well done.
Would this movie be considered an homage to monster movies? What do you think J.J. Abrams and co. was going for here?
Well, I should note it was directed by Matt Reeves, who's amazing. He directed the two best of the new Planet of the Apes movies.
Right.
And Let Me In, which is amazing. And he's directing the new Batman.
Oh, wow.
This is
part of the Abrams incubator, though, of this monster world.
Yeah.
The franchise, if you will.
Yeah, so are you asking what I think their intentions were in terms of making a movie in this genre?
Yeah.
I think that there was an interest in a few things. I think that they wanted to make a monster movie, but maybe they couldn't get the money to do it.
Okay.
So they had to think of a creative way around that. And I also think that it was a thing of, we've seen a ton of monster movies, we've seen a ton of disaster movies, but we've never seen them done this way.
Sure.
We've followed a group of survivors, that whole thing, but in terms of like really grounding something, mm-hmm. seeing it in a way, like through a lens that we see every day.
Well, it is interesting. It did kind of bring it into the modern era of monster movie. It lost a lot of that cinematic quality, but it also brought into this kind of like YouTube culture, like mm-hmm. everyone's a voyeur, everyone has a camera, everyone's filming stuff. So it's like, what if a monster attack now, like what would happen? Oh yeah, everyone would be pulling out their phones, everyone would be recording it on their home video yeah. recording device.
Yeah, and there's just so many things I feel that work about that movie. I've actually revisited that recently as well when I was yeah. going through like my kaiju thing when the new Godzilla was coming out.
Yeah,
and it's a thing that I feel like it's remembered for its marketing campaign mostly,
for
that
sure.
whole like 1808 thing, yeah. and like it was this very viral thing, but I don't think that people appreciate it as a movie as much as I think it should be appreciated. It is insanely effective, and the things that they do, you know, this ends up being a conversation about perspective in monster movies, and that's interesting to me. So like things like I'm gonna draw another parallel. It's the same as Gareth Edwards' Godzilla movie, mm-hmm. where we see things within the lens of normal life. So mm-hmm. so in Cloverfield, there's like a shot where we finally do see the monster in Central Park, you know, where it's right. like standing above them after the helicopter crash. And they do this brilliant thing where they have the autofocus on the camera, kind of just like it keeps jittering, like it can't figure out what to focus on.
Yeah, it keeps going in and out.
And it's like there's obviously budgetary reasons to do that, which is like, you know, if you don't have the effects budget, it's a way to like hide it. But it's also like that's like the quote unquote, pardon my French, money shot of the movie
sure.
where you're finally like seeing the monster.
Right.
And they had like the restraint and like artistic mind to be like, we're not going to do this big shot. It's going to be like blurry. It's going to take a second to find it.
Yeah.
And I think that another example of that in a kind of monster movie is in Steven Spielberg's War of the Worlds. There's that great sequence where the tripod comes out of the street. And
also underrated, in my opinion.
Oh, right? Yeah, that's a movie that I feel like it is aged insanely well.
Yeah.
But Tim Robbins notwithstanding. But the first shot that we see of like the tripod in full is this panning shot of Tom Cruise, and we see it in the rear, the reflection of it in the windshield of a car.
Yep.
And that always struck me as brilliant. That's the Spielberg
for me. I was
man.
Like, why couldn't they just focus it in, get a better camera? I think no, you're absolutely right. I think you kind of lead into something in to go back from Cloverfield a little bit. We hit on Spielberg, and when we were kind of chatting about doing this topic, you mentioned Jurassic Park, and I think that there is this cinematic connection point through the history of film where you've got King Kong, right? You've got Godzilla. You've got these monsters. And I think that, like, our version of that, or any version of that, would be if you know about the existence of dinosaurs, your first thought is when you see a dinosaur, you're like, when you're a kid, you're like, does that currently exist?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's got to be your first question. Because if it's...
Do I need to be worried?
Yeah, exactly. If the answer is yes, then all children should be terrified. But if the answer is no, then you immediately are like, oh my gosh, what if I lived in a world with that dinosaur? And Jurassic Park, Michael Crichton obviously wrote the book, but the materialization of that movie, I think that scene in the kitchen is still just like embedded in my brain. When I see an island in a kitchen, I think there's a dinosaur on the other side of it. I would consider that like a prime monster movie because it takes something that presumably is real, mm-hmm. and it puts you face to face with a threat, an existential threat that is so like looming and uncontrollable and unpredictable. It's mm-hmm. almost like a space movie and having the idea of space on the outside that is so dangerous.
Yeah, and I agree with you with the kitchen scene. It's just worth noting, this has nothing to do with monsters, but the T-Rex attack on the truck is truly one of the greatest directed pieces of film I've ever seen. Like, talk about just, like, a master at work. Like, Spielberg's obviously, like, I'm a huge fanboy and stuff like that. But that, I mean, talk about iconic things. Everything about that scene works.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I agree with you. It is a monster movie. And, like, the T-Rex roar actually, like, has Godzilla, the original Godzilla roar in it.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Like, the sound designers did that.
That's so funny.
So it's like, obviously, Steven Spielberg knew what he was doing with that. He was making a monster movie.
Right. No,
go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, that roar is so iconic. Also, my dishwasher, no joke, was going off. And there's, like, a cycle in it where it makes this, like, sound. And I immediately thought of Godzilla. I was like, I'm going to
record. Is it like that inhale sound?
Yeah, except I'm going to do a super cut of just my dishwasher and Jurassic Park and Godzilla. No, but you're absolutely right. It is a straight up monster movie. It's like Spielberg's take on Godzilla.
Yes, it is. And I think, again, with perspective, you know, that movie, we are following the people, and when they encounter the monster is when we see the monster. You know, we're not seeing, like, the T-Rex hang out by himself. Or whatever, which I think is something that, like, gets kind of lost. The new Jurassic World movies, which I enjoy, but I think that they're missing a little bit of that point of view a little bit.
Sure.
You know, it's kind of this strange experiment, and, like, especially that first Jurassic World, like, Colin Trevorrow did a lot of the same Spielberg shots, but it somehow is missing that Spielberg-ness.
I agree. Je ne sais quoi. I think there's a very specific quality with these monster movies, too, that if the scope gets... Even though the scope is, like, a monster is going to end the world, if it gets too large or too slick, like, if we see too much, I think all of a sudden it loses its effectiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think the best thing these monster movies like Cloverfield and Pacific Rim, and I'll say even Tremors, have going for it, are that they keep the scope relatively close. So you're, like, focused on one city, one town. I think Jurassic World, literally there's the name World in the title, but it I think it's trying to evoke, like, there's a larger presence, and they're kind of showing off all the abilities of all the dinosaurs, and I feel like when you keep it close to the... What do you keep it close to? What is that expression?
The chest.
Keep it close to the chest. Keep it close to the chest. I think what happens is that it becomes scarier, because you now have all these unanswered questions, like, what if they can't stop Godzilla at this point? All of a sudden now you're like, thinking about, like, what if it goes across the sea? What if it goes to New Jersey?
Mm-hmm.
What if it smashes an Are You Hungry? If they keep showing this stuff...
What if it's hiding in Manhattan, like in Godzilla 98?
Right? Yes. Wow. What a movie that is.
That shot of Hank Azaria where he's between the toes? Oh, baby.
It's insane. So I think... That's a quality that the best ones have. Does King of the Monsters do that, or is it expanding kind of the world of
It's expanding the world. I think that the spectacle of it does work. There are some, like, amazing shots of just, like, giant monsters, which, again, I enjoy. I think that Pacific Rim, although it's more grounded, also has things like that, where it's like you're seeing the whole thing, and it just, like, rocks. You know?
Right.
Like, it's,
yeah, exactly.
So there are things like that in it, and that is an approach. To me, it's that... It had, like, one foot in and one foot out.
Right.
Right? So, like, there's an approach that's, like, kind of over the top with these things. Like, have you seen Kong Skull Island?
No, I have not.
Right. So, Kong Skull Island, I really, really enjoy.
Sure.
And it is a completely different approach than, like, Gareth Edwards' Godzilla, even though it takes place in the same cinematic universe.
Right. It's kind of borrowed from that, like, 70s-ish Godzilla-type vibe.
Yeah. If you watch
King Kong.
Yeah, so if you watch it, it lets you know exactly what it is in the first 5 minutes, and it's that it's, like, it's over the top, it's all about scale and monsters, and, like, the characters are kind of cartoonish, and it's really fun, and it works. Now, like, it will never have the same chilling effect to me as, like, Godzilla does.
Sure.
Because I find that movie to be, like, oh, this is what it would be like. There's something,
right,
like, very palpable and, like, appealing to me about that dread in a movie. I think it's, like, cathartic.
Yeah,
but
Go
ahead.
I was going to say, that dread is, like, I think a key element of these kind of movies. Like,
yeah.
I was just thinking about, like, shows like The Walking and Dead and stuff like that. Don't I call it The Walking and Dead?
The Walking and the Dead.
They, I think that show has diminishing returns as far as like that dread factor, because like the longer they survive in that world, the more I'm like, I know anyone can die at any point in that show, whatever. But like, sure. It's also like the longer, the more solutions they come up with, the more they're like, oh, they're not that bad off anymore. Like the longer that goes on. And I think that's why, like, I'll use Cloverfield 2 as an example. Another, mm-hmm. I think I'd call that a monster movie. Even it's kind of falling into
because
the
monsters are humans are the true monsters.
All right. I think that movie, the scale and scope is so small. There's a very small set of tricks and tools in that little house that somehow makes the monster loom larger than you can possibly imagine.
Yes. Yeah. Because there is something so terrifying as the idea of like what's going on outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and like this is not a monster movie, but it is a movie that I adore and that I think works on every level. Signs is that.
Yeah.
The whole movie is that.
Oh yeah.
Until like the end, which people have trouble with, I really love. But yeah.
Swing Daryl.
But like, you know, that feeling of like we're here, something huge is going on outside.
Right.
Is like works so well in these things.
Yeah.
And
is that the essence of a monster movie? That
well,
like
I think
that there are like havens that these monsters are so big that they just represent like impending doom, but they're slow, so it doesn't happen at once.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I think that they're like within this genre there are so many subgenres, you know, because it's I love Godzilla where people are like hunkering down, and like I think that movie sustains this idea of like them trying to figure out what's going on the whole time. Even once we've seen the monster, you know, it's like Godzilla's atomic breath. When that happens in that movie, it's this great moment because it's just like they see this blue light and no one knows what it is. Like,
oh,
you
no,
know,
he
and
just,
then it's a great payoff. So sustaining that is great. But then there are movies like I adore that first Pacific Rim movie. And that is not that kind of movie.
No, that is
that first Pacific Rim is like, look at these giant monsters and these giant robots punching each other. This is amazing.
Yeah, there's like a little bit going on there, but there's also not a lot going on in that one. That one's like, hey, we got these big robots. They're real hard to control.
Right. And I find it equally enjoyable, but for completely separate reasons.
You mentioned atomic breath. That I have that here. But that was a terrible segue into the joke. I cut you off. Go on.
Oh, there was no follow-up.
Oh, good. No, that's what you get with
you
the wild boys, babies. No, I agree, though. You're right. It's like there's this kind of I think they really are perspective movies. I think they put you in the shoes of the characters better than most any other kind of like. So horror films and stuff, they rely a little bit on shock value. You're not really getting shock value in these monster movies.
Right. And I was saying to, I was watching, when we were watching Godzilla yesterday, I was saying to my wife, I was saying like, what's cool about these movies is that we watch them being like, well, of course this could never happen, obviously.
Right.
But what's interesting about that is that the characters in the movie are also like, this could have never happened.
Right.
You know, so we have that interesting perspective, which is like, what would this be like? The characters in the movie should be reacting the way we would react if a giant monster came out of the sea.
Right.
And there is this, there's a very creepy fact, like deliciously creepy thing about that.
I always like, there's always like one like businessman that's like, I can profit off of him. And that's like, it goes back to like the King Kong thing. And then you kind of like extrapolate that. It was like, it was our research that built Godzilla. So we are making money. Like they think they're going to recover.
Yeah. And that's part of the new Godzilla, the Godzilla King, the monsters it kind of loses me where there's like, you know, there's a, in Jurassic Park, in the second Jurassic Park, it's InGen.
Right,
you know,
there's exactly.
Like this,
oh,
like,
yeah.
There are these, like, these scheming interests.
Yeah.
And it's like, you don't need this.
Yeah,
know?
Exactly. Like, it's not.
I understand it's a sequel to a movie that already did it, but you don't really need this.
Right. There's not much here other than you're just adding a B plot to make it a little different from the first one.
Yeah. And I feel like it's worth noting there's one of the best monster movies I've seen in the last, I guess now it'd be like 15 years, is the South Korean movie called The Host.
Okay.
It's directed by Bong Joon-ho, and he's the same person who directed Snowpiercer,
gotcha.
Which I think is just also a delight. He's a great director.
Chris Evans before Chris Evans, right?
No, this was that was post Captain America.
Oh wow,
yeah, wow. And also to imply that, well, you know, Chris Evans has been Chris Evans
before
for quite
he became
some
a
time.
Household name, is what I meant.
Remember when he had the banana in his butt in Not Another Teen Movie?
I don't remember that
with the whipped cream. Anyway, it's a thing. But
that's for another episode of The Outpost. What's your favorite Not Another Movie?
What's your favorite banana moments in movies? But the host is King Kong. It's about a monster who's a little smaller than our standard kaiju, but there's a wonderful scene where it is revealed in pure in like full daylight, and the way everyone reacts is so genuine. It's on like this riverbank in Korea, and I really recommend, if anyone hasn't seen it, it's a really great movie, and it's very like, it's a small scale monster movie that is full of like strange dark comedy, but also like that sense of dread as well. You know, like that, just like what is going on. There's like, but because it's smaller, it's kind of, it has this like social element as well. Like there's like a military, there's like an American military presence that's very like insidious and stuff. I highly recommend it.
The Host.
It's a very different
2006.
Kind of. 2000, yeah, or I think it was released in the US in 2007.
Gotcha.
I'm just basing this on the Wikipedia thing. but it's really great. I just highly recommend it if you're into these kind of movies.
Other foreign films that kind of dive into the monster thing, other than obviously Godzilla, which is of Japanese descent, correct?
Yeah. Yes.
Troll Hunter, which came out recently. Now, it spawned a TV, like an animated TV series. Is that true? Or is it?
No, those are not related.
Oh, they're not. No. I always thought they were. I thought it was like comical.
No, Troll Hunter is the animated thing, which is wonderful, is a Guillermo del Toro thing.
Gotcha.
But I highly recommend that as well. But Troll Hunter, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Go on.
That's another movie where it's like you get that perspective. But it's not as, I feel like it's not as doomful or dreadful as the other monster movies. It's more like a documentary crew is out there.
Yeah, it's a found footage movie also, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of like there's some universal appeal there is what I was getting to. It's like it's a concept that the worldwide we're thinking of.
There's also, I believe it was Toho Studios that made it. I'm not positive. But there was a movie called Shin Godzilla that came out recently.
Okay.
It was a Japanese movie. It was directed actually by the creator of Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Oh wow.
The like famous anime.
Yeah.
And it's I haven't yet watched it, but I've heard amazing things.
Another monster series
Neon, about giant robots fighting monsters.
Exactly.
And it's kind of it's like a dark comedy about how the government would deal with a real Godzilla.
Oh, so it's all the bureaucracy, the paperwork.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm really, really excited to see it. I have it on iTunes, but I haven't watched it yet. So, you know, we could be... It's interesting because we started talking about how, like, you know, you have to cherish the ones that you get. There are really great monster movies out there. There are also things that you need to... So, like, that original Godzilla movie, it's obviously very dated, but there is great stuff in there. You know, I feel like there's a lot of things...
Do a little work if you like the new ones. You got to do a little work. Treat yourself to a slow old one that is objectively good.
And that the original King Kong from, like, the 30s, I think it was 1933.
Yeah.
Has some amazing stuff in it.
Just put it on in a Sunday. I call those Sunday afternoon movies.
No, like, you know what? Call a bunch of your friends over. Say, we're going to watch a great movie. You're going to love it.
Yeah.
Put on a movie from 1933.
and watch your like friends that. Leave. Now, can we go back to the Matthew Broderick Godzilla?
Of course. Let's end on that.
Do you think that it had maybe one of the greatest marketing pushes of all time?
Dude, it had a marketing push that could only exist in 1998.
Right?
The economy was booming. Everybody was drinking Pepsi.
I think it might be the film that had been marketed more than people saw it. Like, I think people saw it more in commercials, and like, that's probably every movie. But I mean, I think people remember it more from commercials than actually seeing the movie.
Wasn't there literally something where like Godzilla was drinking a Pepsi?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. There was
an ad for it in front of some VHS. I can't remember. You don't remember how they used to put ads in front of movies on VHS tapes?
Sure.
There was some.
Remember the Pizza Hut ad in front of Ninja Turtles?
Oh my God, yes.
And the ball fell right into my glove.
It's why I'm addicted to pizza. That movie, though, you got Matthew Broderick for the first time. He's coming out a little bit from Ferris Bueller. That's many years, obviously, like 10 years. But
was it right before election?
Yeah.
He was Matthew Broderick. He was coming off The Lion King.
He was coming back a little bit. It wasn't always Matthew Broderick time, right?
Right.
So they're bringing him in.
A problematic figure also.
Hank Azaria was having a little bit of a run there. He was in...
It was Mad About You was in the heat of it.
Right. And also, what's the Mitch album? Tuesdays with Maury. He was in that. A couple of Simpsons actors. Harry Shearer's in it. Do you think Roland Emmerich just really liked The Simpsons?
Probably.
Jean Renault was hot right then.
He was coming off The Professional.
Yeah. So you got a cast on this thing. Then what happens? You get Puff Daddy to do the soundtrack.
Sampling a Led Zeppelin song.
Yeah, exactly. A Led Zeppelin sample at a time when they were starting to put the latch down on samples. So this was like an official you got it.
Yeah, I believe Jimmy Page was in the music video.
Why is this movie?
They were
so
facing
terrible?
Down Godzilla.
What happened movie? To this movie?
You know, the movie's just a flawed concept. You know what I mean?
Is it?
Godzilla hides in Manhattan. They say it of course. There's that famous monologue where he's like, look at it. It's perfect. Plenty of places to hide. And it's like Manhattan.
So
I run into people I know on the street.
So they take the largest monster in the world. And then instead of building suspense, they just insist he's hiding.
There's some famous shots in it. Again, Hank Azaria falling between the toes.
Yeah.
Godzilla eating the helicopter. Godzilla's size in that is very, very elastic. It's not very consistent to how big Godzilla is at any moment.
Wasn't there a bunch of little Godzillas also?
In Madison Square Garden. Yeah. In fact, part of a little bit of movie history, famously a huge premiere at Madison Square Garden that they invited all the press to.
Yeah.
And it was, everyone was there. I think the Taco Bell dog was there. Fraggie Muniz.
Of course, with his race.
So,
yeah.
Apparently the energy in the room was huge to the point that a lot of press gave it good reviews based off of
Friends.
The energy. I'm sure Matt LeBlanc was there. There's no way Matt LeBlanc wasn't there. He was hot off that Lost in Space money.
I can't remember one word Matthew Broderick said in that movie.
I would just remember him going, and he's pregnant.
Yes.
So apparently the movie got good reviews, most famously from Harry Knowles, Savannah Cool News, that based off the energy of the premiere, because people were so stoked to be in Madison Square Garden seeing Godzilla.
Maybe just, that's all it takes.
Yeah. This ties in as well. Maybe we'll do film history here. So people were watching a big sequence in Godzilla happen since Madison Square Garden, where the little Godzillas are running around. No, you think people might be scared. Oh God,
right?
Or where that's where we are.
Yeah.
Famously, the King Kong 1933. King Kong was originally. I was told this by a film teacher. So if they're wrong, I'm wrong. But who's more foolish? The fool.
And you wasted some money.
So they. King Kong at the end was originally going to climb the sign at Radio City, and it was going to end at the top of Radio City.
Sure.
This is early in film, film's life. They knew that they were having the premiere of the movie at Radio City. And so they changed it to the Empire State Building because, like the train coming into the station, they didn't want people to be scared that King Kong was outside.
Wow. That shows a lack of fundamental understanding how movies worked back then.
Talk about not trusting your audience. But also, there's something kind of very endearing and magical about that idea.
That's pretty crazy that
movies
would have that kind of effect on the psyche of a group of people, of seemingly rational people.
Yeah. There would be a run on the banks like Orson Welles' War of the Worlds. So, Chris, let's wrap this up by saying, what would you put, this isn't definitive. What are...
Yeah.
your top three monster movies.
Top three monster movies. All right. Well, we've hit upon a few of them, and there's an infinite amount. I mean, I'm going to say number three spot, I'm going to say the Cloverfield, 10 Cloverfield Lane. I'll leave the free space one out. I think they get both sides of the whole thing well, and they kind of heighten it, right? They show what happens when it happens, and they show like a little bit of the aftermath, and how can that be exciting? I think I'll throw in, I know you're a big Godzilla fan. Godzilla 98 is not on the list. not on the list. I got to go with, I really think Pacific Rim's a great movie. I'm a big anime fan. I'm a big fan of the Evangelion anime. And so that movie was kind of the incarnation of that. Enjoyed that. And then I got to go back to Spielberg here with Jurassic Park. I guess Jurassic Park is probably my favorite version of a monster movie. I think it just the idea that these creatures were real, there's a no way out situation. It checks all the boxes.
Yeah.
And second, bonus, Jaws. Jaws is just a solid
great one.
Monster movie. It's kind of in its own. Jurassic Park, I think, is heightened Jaws.
Sure. Yeah. Great list. Great top three that ended up being six, but that's awesome. So these aren't definitive in any order, but I'll say three.
Godzilla 98.
I'm gonna have to do four. All okay, right. There's a wild card. So number four, I'm saying that original Cloverfield.
Boom.
Which I adore. Number three, I'm saying Pacific Rim.
Wow.
Number two, I'm saying The Host. Bong Joon-ho's The Host.
Okay.
And number one right now, I'm saying it. It's Godzilla 2014.
Wow.
I think if anyone hasn't seen it since it came out, I think it's worth a revisit. And it is beautifully directed.
Wow.
So, well,
there you have it.
Yeah. Let us know what your favorite monster movies
are. Let us know what your favorite monster movies are. Or let us know the secret word for this week's Outpost, Ryan. Can you believe it? We've got more stuff to give away. Prizes are on their way, dear listeners, so do not worry. If you have won a prize, do not worry. They are on their way very soon. May not have been mailed out yet. Don't worry. But if you write to us this week with the word Gizmo, a lovable little monster from Gremlins, the word is Gizmo. Email us, gizmodroidspod@gmail.com. You can either just tweet us the word Gizmo or Facebook, Instagram, @droidspod. We've done this almost 100 times. I can never get it right.
It's part of the charm.
On Instagram, @droidspod, Twitter, @droidspod, Facebook, search the Droids You're Looking For podcast. I know this is the Outpost. We don't have separate handles. We don't have that kind of time. Email
us,
though.
We're all one big family.
droidspod@gmail.com. For your chance to win this week, we are giving away Shepard Fairey, who's responsible for the famous Obama picture.
Yeah,
did a
beautiful stuff
poster for the movie Idiocracy. What better times to celebrate our idiocracy than talking about monster movies? It's a neat little poster. If you're a fan of the movie Idiocracy, it was a limited edition. I think it was a timed edition print. So please email us the word Gizmo, lovable little monster, and you will have a chance to win that, and
I was just gonna say, tweet at us your favorite monster movies at @droidspod on Twitter, and hashtag what do you think,
monster mash.
Love it.
Also, hey, if you liked this monster mashup, please leave us a review. I'll start with Spotify. Give us a review on Spotify. Why the heck not? Apple iTunes, rate, like, review us. Go to our Facebook page. Give us some likes. Give us some feedback. We love hearing it. Any kind of reviews are great as long as they're positive. No, we appreciate you all listening very much.
Great. And great. Thanks, Chris, for joining me.
Yeah. Thanks,
on
Ryan.
On this Monster Mash episode. Till next time, for Chris, I'm Ryan. This was The Outpost. Yeah. like that one.